Thank the young people for coming and taking part tonight. We thank them for all the efforts that they've put in and for the practicing that they've put in. And we are glad that they are willing to come and take part in the meeting. And sometimes young people get a bad press, but we have a good bunch of young people and we are glad of them. And we thank God for them and we trust that God will bless them and their own souls even as they've taken part tonight. Now, I wonder, could we turn to the book of Acts, and I'm tempted just to read one verse, but we'll just read a few verses from chapter 24, and we'll begin at verse 24 of the chapter, and we'll just take a few verses because of time, but just beginning our reading at verse 24 of Acts chapter 24. And after certain days, when Felix came and his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word. Can we just unite in a short word of prayer, please? Gracious God and loving Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee in our Saviour's name. And we thank thee for all that is taking place already this evening. We thank thee for the word of testimony. We bless thee for the witness in song. And we are glad of every one of the young people who have come tonight and taken part in our meeting. And we'd ask thee, Lord, that thou wouldst put thy hand upon everything that is said and done this evening. And oh, that thou wouldst speak through thy word and draw sinners to thyself. For it's in Jesus' precious name. Now I'd ask these things. Amen. Verse 25 is my text this evening. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. There are days in our lives that are red letter days. There are always days and events which seem to bring a turning point in our lives and perhaps prove ultimately vital and things that transform our lives either for the good or for the bad. Some may think of the day when they met their husband or their wife and you went to some event or function or something and you didn't think that you were going to meet the person that you'd ultimately spend the rest of your life with. But that was a red letter day in your life. Many will look at the day when they were saved. Our sister Barbara told us about the day when she was saved and what a day that was for her. And when others of us look at the day when we were saved, what a day that was for us. I think of C.H. Spurgeon, and we're told the story of Spurgeon, how he was going to a meeting. It was a snowstorm and he couldn't get to the church where he was going. And so he decided to turn into a little primitive Methodist church. And he got in at the back seat, and there was some hearty singing. And he said himself that he felt that the primitive Methodists weren't a people that he should be among, really, because he said that he heard that they sung so loudly it made your head hurt. But he went in anyway, and the preacher didn't come because of the snow. But there was a man there, and he preached the word, and he just said, Look unto me, all ye, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. And he looked up in the gallery and he saw Spurgeon and he pointed. He says, Young man, you don't look happy. And he says, Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, God spoke to Spurgeon. And he, as a result, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. What a red letter day that was for Spurgeon. And we realize that there are red letter days, not only for the good, but for the bad. And this was a red letter day in the life of Felix, the Roman governor. But it wasn't for good, but it was for bad. Because though he heard the gospel that day, And though Paul stood before him and witnessed of the things of God, Felix really had his last, what really in many ways was his last opportunity. I know that he heard the word again on many other occasions. But God spoke to Felix that day, and we read that he trembled under conviction of sin. But he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time." And he sent the preacher away. And as Paul in his chains clanked out of that place, and the big doors of the chamber were shut behind him, that was really the end of Felix's opportunity in the gospel. And I don't know that you may be here this evening, and it might be your last opportunity of hearing the gospel. We don't know what a day may bring forth. There has been many a person sat in a meeting like this, and never again has God spoken to their hearts. So this is a great day of opportunity for you. You bless the Lord that you're brought into this meeting. I don't know why you came. Maybe some of the young people gave you an invitation, or you know some of the young people here and you came along to see them take part in the meeting. But God has brought you here, and he wants you to hear his word. And he says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth." And this could be a red letter day in your life, and it most certainly will be if you get saved and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It can be a red letter day for good, or a red letter day for bad. And I want you to make sure that you go the right way, that you make this a day of blessing, a day when you will meet the Savior and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was Felix's destiny day. Is this your destiny day this evening? I want us to think about Felix's destiny day and some of the things that were told about that destiny day here in this portion of Scripture. Now, first of all, I want you to see the truth he heard on his destiny day. Look at what it says in verse 25. It says of Paul, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." Paul preached them that day. It was obvious that we're told here that the preaching of the gospel focused upon the matter of his sin. Now, Paul was brought into this trial. He was in many ways standing trial for his life. But instead of defending himself, Paul the apostle preached the word of God. And Felix listened to him. Really what he was interested in was money, because it says that he wanted to make a fast buck. In verse 26 it says he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might lose him. And really Felix wasn't interested in Paul. He wasn't interested in justice. He was looking for a bribe. He was looking for money. But he got something that he didn't expect. He got the word of God. Something far beyond money or gold or silver or anything else. He heard the word of God. And you mightn't love to hear the word of God, and you mightn't like to hear the preacher tell you about sin tonight, but it is the most valuable message that you will ever hear. It's a message of life and death. Now notice what Paul spoke about. There's a sermon here in 3 points. And he spoke to him of righteousness. It says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness." And we could do with a good dose of the preaching of righteousness today. In other words, Paul confronted Felix with his sin. And Felix was a man who needed to hear that. Felix was a man who needed to hear about his sin. Because history tells us that he was originally a slave, and he rose up through the ranks and got out of his slavery by being ruthless. He was an absolutely ruthless individual. And he had gained his freedom through the ruthlessness of his character. And he thought nothing of trampling upon anybody in order to get out of the place and rise above the rest. And in many occasions he put people to death in order to advance himself. One day the Jewish high priest remonstrated him about his cruelty and what he had done. And Felix just turned round and ordered somebody to go out and to murder Jonathan, the high priest of the Jewish people. Tacitus, the Roman historian, tells us of him that he was a man of corruption. He said he exercised in Judea
the imperial functions of a mercenary soul. In other words, anything to get money, anything to line his own pockets. He was a man of extreme wickedness. And Felix was confronted that day with his sin. Paul spoke to him about righteousness. He told him, you're a sinner. No matter how high up you may be, no matter how much power you may have, no matter how many people may look to you, and you might be the very toast of society, Felix, you're a sinner. And you know, when we stand before God, God will bring out His perfect law of righteousness. And we will stand judged by that perfect law of righteousness. And the Bible says that one sin is enough to condemn us. It tells us that if we're angry with a brother without cause, that is murder. If we lust after someone in our hearts, that is adultery. Man and woman, if we stand before God this evening, we are all sinners. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no purity within us. And Paul spoke to this man about a pure Savior. He witnessed about the purity that God demanded. And you might say to me, but preacher, I am pure. No, you're not pure. You are a sinner. And that's what God's Word says. And we need to face up to that. And Paul told him straight, and I've got to tell you straight, it's not a pleasant message to deliver, but it is something that has to be said, because it is the truth of God's precious Word. The psychiatrists tell us today that you shouldn't tell people that they're sinners. They almost tell us that we're immoral to tell anybody that they've come short of anything. But I've got to tell you what God says. And I'd rather go by what God says than any psychiatrist or any academic or psychologist or anybody else. Men and women, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not only did Paul speak to Felix about righteousness, but he spoke to him about temperance. Now, when he was speaking about temperance there, he's speaking not about restraint from drink, although that would have been included in it, but it is restraint in every form. Restraint of passions, restraint of evil inclinations, restraint of lusts, self-control. Really, that's what it is speaking about. And again, Felix was a man who needed to hear about self-control. We are told in history that he was the husband of three queens. Indeed, he had sitting by him at that time, as he was examining Paul, he had beside him his queen Drusilla. And Drusilla was not his wife at all. She was actually the wife of an Arabian queen, or an Arabian king rather. But she had left her husband and come to live in an adulterous relationship with Felix. And he was an adulterer. He was a drunkard, this man. He was a man who had lost control. And you know, that's what sin does in the life. It causes us to lose control. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will bring you down a path that you don't want to tread. And I'm sure that as Felix started out and started out on the drink and started out on his path, that he didn't want to go as far as he did. He was a man who was known for his evil and for his wickedness. And the people hated him. And he knew that the people hated him because of his sin. But God, the sin had brought him down and down. Is there someone here this evening? And sin has got a hold of you and it's bringing you further than you want to go. Has there ever been a day when you've done something and the next day you regretted it? You say to yourself, why did I do that? Why did I get caught up in that? Why did I let that temptation take hold of me? Why did you say that? You didn't want to do it, but sin had brought you into that place. And sin is something that pervades the heart and brings us down. So Paul spoke to him of righteousness and temperance. And then he spoke to him of judgment to come. Of course, there was Felix sitting on the judgment throne. He was sitting in judgment over Paul. But Paul was really reminding this man that you're not always going to be the judge. You're not always going to be sitting in the place of power. You're not always going to be in the place where you can pass the sentence. One day the sentence will be passed upon you. One day you'll have to give an account of yourself. One day God will take down the books and He will open the books And there your sin will stand there in letters of gold and light. And they will say, guilty, guilty. And one day God will take down the books. And God will show you your sin. And every sin will cry out before God. And it will say, guilty, guilty. And what a terrible sentence there will be visited upon those who are unsaved at that day, and their sins will bring them down to that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Paul left Felix under no illusion about himself. And if I'm going to be a preacher of righteousness tonight, I can't leave you in any illusion about yourself. Men and women, you need to get right with God. Otherwise, you're going down to a Christless eternity. I can't make it any plainer than that. You've got to get right with God and seek His face. So we see the truth he heard. But also notice the trembling he did. Because Felix, powerful as he was, and Felix was no kind of a soft character. We've already indicated that he trampled upon everybody to climb the ladder and get to the place of being a governor. He was a burly, hard, wicked character. But as this man, Paul, we don't know what Paul looked like, but he tells us that his speech was contemptible, and he tells us that he was not of a great appearance. But as this prophet of God, this man of God, speaks, you see, Felix begins to grip the chair, and the whites of his knuckles begin to show as he grips the chair, and he begins to tremble. He begins to tremble at the word of God. What made him tremble? The power of God made him tremble. The power of the Holy Spirit began to make him tremble. And you know, I wonder if you in this meeting would begin to tremble. Begin to realize what you are in the sight of Holy God. Is God speaking? Is God speaking to you? You know, I remember when we first went along to the Free Church, Lisbalaw, many years ago. And I went along, my father got saved and he began to attend the meetings. He brought us along. And I sat and I heard the gospel. But you know, at the start, it didn't affect me anyway. I could sit and listen to the word of God and really just went out of the meeting. Made no difference whatsoever. But you know, as time went on, God began to speak. And I remember sitting in those meetings. And as the preacher was preaching, I was trembling. I knew that God was speaking to me. And I wanted to get out of the meetings and I wanted to get away from the Word of God. And yet somehow the Holy Spirit was drawing me to hear the Word of God. And I was listening and I was trembling and I knew that I needed to get saved. Is God speaking to you like that? Is there any way that God is speaking? Because I can't make you tremble. Nothing that I would say would make you tremble. But as you look and realize what God is and what you are in the sight of a holy God, surely men and women, young people tonight, that makes you tremble. You know, as Felix trembled here, it shows us that he was convinced. He was convinced, absolutely convinced of what Paul had to say. Well, you know, as Paul spoke, the words just struck a note in the heart of Felix, and he really knew, oh yes, this is right. Oh, at first he mocked. And if you read the whole story there, he mocks Paul and wonders what sort of a being he is. And he's looking for the bribes and really looking to feather his own nest. But as the word of God is preached, God begins to get through and God begins to speak. We need that speaking voice today. We need old-fashioned conviction of sin. We want meetings where people tremble. Away with indifference. Away with coldness. Away with turning your back upon God. Old men and women, you will face the wrath of God. Can you be indifferent about that? Can you be indifferent about that? And no matter how strong you are, no matter how courageous you are, one day you will tremble. You will tremble. Far better to tremble now. God is speaking to your heart. We see the truth he heard and the trembling he did. But then notice the tarrying he made, because he trembled, all right. And I can think of people who sat in meetings and trembled, but they have only trembled. I remember years ago when I was in the Whitfield College, we went on outreach up to Garva, and there was a mission going on over in Ahadui. And we were going round the doors, and the people were speaking to the people on the doors, and there was a wee woman that some of the brethren met. And she had been at the meeting every night, and they began to speak to her about the gospel. And that woman had sat in tears, and she had been trembling under the sound of the word of God. And as the brethren spoke to her, she admitted that God had been speaking to her, but she could not make the final step. She just could not come and seek the Savior. She just couldn't come that final step. There was something that was holding her back. And I don't know if that woman ever came to put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I know this, she didn't come at that mission. And I've seen people go out of meetings like this in tears. And they've been trembling, and God has been speaking, but they only trembled. They said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He tarried. He tarried. He put Paul off. And there are many people who are in that business. When I think that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight. Is that what you're saying? Someday I'll get saved. Someday, some way, somehow, but not now. Is that what you're saying? Well, here was Paul speaking. But as the door clanged, there was Paul going away. And you know this. Felix had other opportunities of hearing the word of God. You know, sometimes we hear preachers, and I've heard it preach, that this was Felix's last time that he ever heard the word of God. But that is not true, because it says that in verse 26, he hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So there are other occasions when he had the apostle Paul in front of him. And I have no doubt that the other occasions when Paul came and spoke to him, he again told him about the things of God and confronted him with his sin and told him about his need of a Savior. And there were other times when he heard the message. But I tell you what I don't read. I don't read that Felix ever trembled again. He heard it again. There were other opportunities to sit under the sound of the word of God again. But he never trembled again. Men and women, you might go out of this meeting and you might go to other gospel meetings. But if God is speaking to you tonight, you need to get right with God tonight. Because there is no guarantee that God will ever speak to you again. Why did Felix say, "Go thy way"? I think perhaps it was the voice of Drusilla. There she was sitting by his side. He knew that if he got right with God, Drusilla would have to go. And he thought of Drusilla. And Drusilla was luring him down the road to hell. It was Drusilla that was luring him down the road to hell. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? For the sake of relationship, for the sake of a friendship, to go to an eternal hell? Is that worth it? He might have been thinking about his position in Caesar's empire. And he knew that the cruelty that he had been engaging in, that made him unpopular. And he knew that if he was going to be kept in office, he had to stay in favor with Caesar. And it might have been the call of duty that was taking him away from God. But if it was, If it was pride and prestige that he was looking for, it didn't last too long, because it says in verse 27 that after 2 years Porcius Festus came into Felix's room and he was pushed aside. He was put out of the governorship. And he was looking to turn away from God for the sake of the power and the prestige. But the power and the prestige didn't last. And was it worth it to go to hell for the sake of power and prestige? You know, the awful thing is that if Felix missed heaven for power and prestige, it was all in vain. He said, "Some more convenient day, I'll call for thee." Perhaps at the end of this meeting, that is your attitude. Not tonight. Some more convenient day. Well, Felix's convenient day never came. There was no more convenient day than that day. That was, in many ways, his destiny day. And there's no more convenient day than this day for you to get right with God. So man, woman, young person, will you come to the Savior tonight? Will you put your trust in the one whom to know is life eternal? Come and trust Him. Seek Him as your Savior. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. And our God, we realize the warning is clear. We'd ask Thee that men, women, young people, boys and girls tonight might come to seek the Savior and call upon His name. Bless Thy word. Draw sinners to Thyself for Jesus' sake. Amen. And could I say that if God has been speaking to you, you don't go away from this meeting. You've heard the message. And as God and as Paul confronted Felix that day, there was something he had to do. Say yes or no. So have you. There's something to do to say yes or no. Say yes to God tonight. Come and speak to us after the meeting. We'll be only too glad to help you in any way that we can. We're going to ask the young people to come and sing to us one final piece, please.